Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. As we continue the Heaven series with Dr. John Neufeld, our study today will focus on the resurrection of the body. So let's begin as we turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 35 to 53.
The human body really is a marvel. It's beautiful, it's complex, it's functional, and it expresses who we are. Every human body consists of a number of biological systems. The circulatory system moves blood, nutrients, oxygen, carbon dioxide, and hormones through the body. The digestive system allows the body to break down and absorb food and remove waste. The endocrine system consists of 8 major glands that secrete hormones into the blood. The immune system is the body's defense against disease. The lymphatic system also fights disease and helps the body fight infection. The nervous system controls voluntary and involuntary actions. The muscular system provides power to move and includes 650 muscles. The reproductive system, the skeletal system, the respiratory system, the urinary system, the skin itself is a system that protects the body from the outside world, and that's just the beginning. Human bodies have 5 vital organs: the brain, the heart, the kidneys, the liver, and the lungs. The human body consists of 100 trillion cells. We take 20,000 breaths every day. The human brain has about 100 billion nerve cells, and complexity and interconnectedness of this organism is surely an example of God's wonderful feat of engineering. It is no wonder that Psalm 139 verse 14 would say, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well." And yet, as we all know, this complex and wonderful body is subject to disease and aging and degradation and death. Furthermore, on this side of the fall of Adam, our bodies can also be used in dishonorable ways, in ways in which we use them to sin against our Creator. The good news of the Bible is that when Christ brought salvation and redemption to us, He did not just save our souls. He came also to redeem our bodies. Not only our souls, but our bodies will be set free from all the results of the curse. It always amazes me that in spite of so much Bible teaching on the matter, there are still Christians who believe that the life to come is some kind of spiritual existence that does not resemble an actual physical bodily existence. Many still envision disembodied spirits in spite of all the biblical material that describes exactly the opposite. So what will life be like in heaven? If you listened yesterday, you heard me talk about the new heaven and the new earth and the dwelling place of God coming to the earth so that the barrier between God and man is permanently removed. You also heard me describe the world to come as a physical reality, a real place with sights and sounds and smells and tastes. And all this needs to be set in a context of we ourselves having a bodily existence for all eternity. But that seems so strange. Does my spirit simply get put into a new body, or what is it that I actually experience? Let's start from the beginning, and if you haven't been taught in this matter before, what I'm about to say may surprise you. According to the Westminster Confession of Faith, one of the truly great creeds that expresses well the great Christian doctrines, it says of the resurrection, "All the dead will be raised up with the self-same bodies and none other." Have a look at your body. Stare at your face in a mirror, look at your hands, your feet, and say to yourself, "This is the very body that will go on for all of eternity." Now, I know, some of you are saying, "I was looking for something better than I got." But hold on for a moment. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Is it really true that we will have the self-same body in eternity that we have today? Is that just my opinion? Or do others say the same? And most of all, what does the Bible actually teach? Let's take it one step at a time. In his Systematic Theology, Wayne Grudem says, "When Christ returns and raises from the dead the bodies of all believers for all time who have died, he reunites them with their souls and changes the bodies of all believers who remain alive." Or listen to Randy Elkhorn in his book on heaven. When we die, it isn't that our real self goes to the intermediate heaven and our fake self goes to the grave. It's that part of us goes to the intermediate heaven and part goes to the grave to await our bodily resurrection. We will never be all that God intended for us to be until body and spirit are again joined in resurrection. Elkhorn goes on to explain that even if there is a kind of an intermediate state body, we will still await the reuniting of our souls to our bodies. But doesn't that all sound strange? Once our bodies die and are either buried or cremated or destroyed by an accident, how can those bodies be raised up? And furthermore, what's the biblical evidence that this should be the case? Well, let's start at the beginning. At the resurrection of Jesus, since we are going to be spending some time in 1 Corinthians 15, let's start with verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The idea of a first fruit comes from the Old Testament. Leviticus 23 verses 9 to 14 describes it. The feast happened at the beginning of the barley harvest. Because barley was the first crop reaped from the winter sowing, it represented the very first of all the harvest that lay before the people. It was a celebration that anticipated that God would be faithful and provide Israel with an abundance of food for the rest of the year. That, says 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20, is what the resurrection of Jesus is. It is the very first harvest which anticipates a great harvest to follow. Another way of saying that is to say that Jesus' resurrection from the dead is the prototype, the very first of what all resurrections that follow him will look like. And if that's the case, we notice that it was his very own body that was raised. He did not die and have his body rot in the grave and then was given a new body unlike his old body. Rather, it was his old body that was redeemed, and that is exactly what we anticipate as well. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 to 53, Paul in great detail will explain exactly what it is we are to anticipate when we receive our resurrection bodies. In verses 35 to 38, he begins by giving us an illustration from nature. Let's read it. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies, and what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. Now the illustration is by way of analogy. Just as a seed thrown into the ground seems to die and be dissolved by the soil, and yet produces a harvest, so is also the death of our own bodies. The analogy is interesting. The seed that is put into the ground on the one hand ceases to exist in its original form, but there is surely a connection between that form and that which comes after it. Okay, the body we sow into the ground dies, and in that sense, it is not recovered exactly like it was before. There is a difference between the original and the final form. Now, having given the analogy in verse 39 to 40, Paul tells us that God designs all bodies for a specific function in mind. In verse 39, he says, "For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish." The point being that God creates different kinds of bodies, and when he does so for a purpose. Then moving to the point which is the resurrection of our own bodies, Paul brings together the idea of our bodies planted into the ground and being raised, but not exactly like they were before, and the idea that God designs each body with a function in mind, Paul now makes his point. I'm reading from verses 42 to 44. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And then skipping ahead to verses 48 to 49, Paul brings his argument to a conclusion. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Realizing that each body is created by God for its purpose, Paul then makes a final statement. In verse 50, he says, "I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." Imagine for a moment what it must have been like for Moses to ask God while he's on Mount Sinai that he'd like to see God. And God says, "You cannot see my face and live." To stand before the glory of God would be like standing at ground zero of a nuclear blast. Your body is not created for that. But, says Paul, God will take and renew the present body and make it fit for heaven and the presence of God. And when we come back, I'm going to show you five ways in which, even while our new bodies are like the one we presently have, and yet our new bodies will be unlike the body that we now have.
I wonder how many of us really think about what our resurrected bodies will actually be like. Will they still be our own bodies, but just perfected? Not only that, but there is also the fact that our bodies and souls, once separated at death, will now be fully reunited. In light of how Christ's resurrection is described, we are given a great insight into this promise of redeemed bodies that all believers can look forward to. Join us again as Dr. Neufeld will continue our study on how these new bodies will be different from what we now have. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. We are happy to offer our valuable listeners a pocketbook on What is the Gospel, written by our Bible teacher, Dr. John Neufeld. The most important thing about us is what we think of Jesus. So what do you think about Jesus? If you know him as your friend and savior, then you will be glad to understand the details of what he did to secure your salvation. And if you haven't yet met him, this small book will be a wonderful introduction. Either way, come with an open mind and a willing heart to hear a message that has satisfied millions of lives in every generation for more than 2,000 years. In this booklet, allow Dr. John to walk you through the greatest news you will ever hear. Get your personal copy of this book, What is the Gospel, by calling us today on 9492440070, or just send your request with your address through SMS or WhatsApp on 9492440070. That is 9492440070.